Revelation chapter 8 again. And we'll start again in verse number 1. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Before I go on, if you've been with us from chapter 1, you might remember the trouble that we had identifying the seven spirits of God. You find that phrase, seven spirits of God, in Revelation 1:4, 3:1, chapter 4, verse 5, and chapter 5, verse 6. The seven spirits of God. Well, here's a case where if at first you don't know something, you just keep reading, keep studying the Bible, and eventually God will show you something. If you look here in verse 2, you've got seven angels. Well, according to Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter 2 and Psalm 104, verse 4, angels are ministering spirits. And in the verses that speak of the seven spirits of God, they're standing before the throne. And in Revelation chapter 5, they're sent forth into all the earth. Well, here are seven angels standing before the throne. So why can't those seven spirits of God be seven particular angels that minister in the presence of God? I just think that's a good possibility, something to consider. All right, let's go on. Verse number 3. "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." Heavenly Father, again, we're just thankful that we can study your holy words. We pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct our thoughts and help us to stay focused upon the study tonight. We pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The trumpet judgments of Revelation chapters 8 through 11 affect various parts of the universe. As we go on through these judgments, we'll see that they affect the land, the sea, and then the scope broadens. And what we learn by the time we looked at each of these seven judgments is that there is no safety for the wicked. There is absolutely no place under God's heaven where a lost man can flee from the wrath of God. Turn in your Bible, if you will, for just a minute to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And we'll begin there in verse number 1. Psalm 139. Starting at the beginning there. Verse number 1. "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knewest my downsitting and mine uprising." "Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." Okay, so whether you sit down or rise up, whether you're walking or lying down, God is present. He knows all about it. Verse 4, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." Okay, so verse 2, he knows the thought. Verse 4, he knows the word. Verse 5, "Thou hast beset me behind and before." Okay, God, that means God knows my past, God knows my future. And laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. So think about this. If you're saved and born again, your Savior, your Redeemer, your friend, your Comforter, your Provider, your Sanctifier, your Keeper, your Father, your Elder Brother, the Lover of your soul, you can't get away from Him. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You can't go so high. You can't go so low. You can't run so far. You can never be separated from the presence, from the company of your dearest friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. We thank God for that. But if you're here tonight and you're not saved, your enemy, yes, your enemy, your judge, your condemner, the one that will damn your soul, the one that will crush your life, the one that will grind you to powder, the one that will throw you in hellfire, as terms you find in the Bible, the one that will pronounce you guilty at the white throne judgment, the one that will cast you headlong into a lake burning with fire and brimstone, you can't get away from him. You can't run far enough. You can't fly high enough. You can't dig deep enough to get away from the God that is out to damn your soul. There's no escape. But there is a choice of bondage. I can't escape the presence of God, but better to be bound in that presence through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ than bound in that presence in the hand of the devil. Better to be unable to escape the God that loved me and washed me in his own precious blood than to be unable to escape the presence of the God who is going to throw me headlong into the bottomless pit. You can't. Now, think about this. You can leave church. People do. You can get mad at the preacher. You can put triple deadbolt locks on your door to keep the visitation crew away, but you can never read another gospel tract. You can never read a Bible another day in your life, but you won't get away from God. He'll haunt you in your quiet moments. He'll track you in your private hours. He'll wake you up in the night to remind you of your condition. You're not going to get away from that God. You may as well just live with him. You may as well just get along with him. You may as well just try and enjoy his presence. Listen, if you tried to run to hell, Jesus has already been there. If you try and get in a spaceship and go up there in the heavens and fly around, you're not going to get away from your conscience. There will be something in the depths of your heart that God put there, John 1:9, Romans 2:15, that conscience. God put that there from the day of your birth. There will be a light in there trying to break out that tells you that there's a God, there is a creator, and you are accountable to him. You can't get away from that. I'd rather be in God's presence as his friend, his child, his beloved, than be in his presence as one that is soon to be crushed by his power. But you'll not get away from that God. You say, well, I'll just stop reading the Bible. I just won't go to church anymore. I just won't hang around with those people anymore. Well, you can get away from me. You can get away from the rest of the congregation. You can get away from the Bible. But where do you go to get away from the one who is everywhere? Where do you hide from the one who sees everything? How softly will you have to whisper to keep from being heard by the one who hears every idle word? You might as well just surrender and get used to living with the Lord. You're not going to get away from him because it can't be done. Do you know what the purpose of those gospel tracts is that you hand out? You say, well, I've given out 100,000 tracts. I've never seen anybody saved by one. Yeah, but how many people have you reminded that they cannot get away from God? You may not see any results from street preaching, but you don't know how many thousands of people you have just simply reminded God is watching you. You can't get away from him. That's what it's all about. You know, do you know what that tract is that you put in somebody's birthday card? You know what that tract is that you put on the table with your tip? You know what that gospel tract is that you leave on somebody's door? It's just a reminder to somebody that God is watching. You know what that bumper sticker is for? Do you know what that t-shirt is for? Do you know what that song that you sing in the grocery store is all about? You know what that Christian witness is that you speak to that waiter or that waitress? You know what that is? It may not be the salvation of a soul that very instant, but it's one more reminder that you haven't run far enough, that God doesn't know where you are. It's one more reminder that you haven't lived long enough to make God forget that he made you. See, that's what it's all about. It's a constant reminder that you will not get away from God. There's a certain order in these trumpets. The first four judgments harm the wicked in their physical being. And we'll see this as we go down through the chapter. We're not going to talk about this tonight. And then the last three trumpets bring in the added dimension of spiritual anguish as hell is let loose. Now, here's what we're going to do for a few minutes tonight. I want to look with you in the Bible at why trumpets are used. Why are trumpets used? Trumpets are probably the most expressive of all instruments, and I don't say that just because I played the trumpet for many years. I wouldn't call myself a trumpet player anymore. It's been a long time. But the Bible says that the trumpets have a voice. They speak and armies respond. In fact, you read in your Bible, as we will in a minute, from the dawn of time, they have used the soundings of a trumpet to communicate speech and commands and orders. Okay? God himself gave his ancient people very special directions with regard to the use of a trumpet. It's described as a cry. A cry of a trumpet is related to important occasions. The time for the blowing of trumpets was always a time for men to stir themselves up for one reason or another. Each use of trumpets in the Old Testament points to something which is found in connection with the great tribulation and the coming of Christ. And I hope I'm able to help you to see that tonight. So first of all, come to two places, Numbers chapter 10 and Jeremiah chapter 4. Numbers chapter 10. Jeremiah 4, these two go together. The First, we'll look at Numbers chapter 10 and verse number 9. Numbers 10:9. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. All right? And we are going to be back here in this chapter, so keep your place there. But go to Jeremiah 4. Verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse number 19. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. There's your definition of biblical bowels. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. The alarm of war. The sound of the trumpet, which is what? The alarm of war. Numbers 10:9, when it's time to go to war, you sound the trumpets, you give the alarm. So in Revelation chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11, 7, the number of completeness, 7, the number of perfection, 7 trumpets sound, indicating what? The man of war, the Lord Jesus Christ, is about to gird upon himself his sword. He's about to mount his white horse. He's about to lead his armies out of heaven and wage war upon the ungodly and save his people Israel. You hear those trumpets in Revelation 8. You hear those trumpets in Revelation 9. You hear those trumpets in Revelation chapters 10 and 11. What does the trumpet mean? Numbers 10. What does the trumpet mean? Jeremiah chapter 4. It means there's about to be war on the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ strong in the day of battle. The Lord Jesus Christ mighty to save. The Lord Jesus Christ girding his holy armor upon his thigh is about to come and tread the blood of his enemies in the Valley of Armageddon. That's the meaning of the trumpet. One meaning. Now come to Numbers chapter 10 again. There's another reason why the trumpet would sound. Numbers chapter 10, this time back up to verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee 2 trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with 1 trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the 2nd time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. So there's a difference in these trumpet sounds, these blowings of the trumpet. Verse 8, and the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. All right, so you can picture this. all the hosts of Israel in 12 tribes. They're scattered about in the wilderness wanderings. If you trace those wanderings in the book of Numbers, you know they were not moving every day. They would set up camp. They'd stay in a certain area for months, sometimes years at a time. They'd settle there, farm, raise their livestock, so on and so forth. But when it got time to move, when it came time to depart that location, before they departed, they were first assembled and brought together in one place. Then they would move out. You know what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 16? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. What happens? A trumpet sounds, and an entire assembly. You know what that Old Testament word assembly is in the New Testament? It's church. Then will the entire church be assembled and brought together? How? By the sounding of a trumpet. And once they're all assembled, then they move out. Well, praise God. I'm looking forward to a day when the Lord sounds a trumpet and the saints of all the ages, the graves burst wide open and they're gathered together in one body in Christ Jesus and caught up, what? Together. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The trumpets sound to do what? First of all, gather the assembly into one place, and then lead the assembly out. Now in the wilderness, in the tribulation time, think of this. Why did we go through chapter 7, which talked about those 144,000 witnesses? What are they doing? They're trying to turn God's people back to God's word. And when the trumpets sound, what will those men do? They will turn those people to Numbers chapter 10 and say, look, when God sounded a trumpet, he told you, number one, war was coming. He told you, number two, you'd better move. You better move. You better get out. So what's the word to that Jewish remnant in Matthew chapter 24? Brother Brian read it to us. When you see these things begin to happen, get out of Jerusalem. Get out of Judea. Get out there in the mountains. When you hear a trumpet sound, boy, you better move. Better get out. Now, who is killed? Who is slain? Who's captured by the beast? Who loses his head? The man that went down in his house to get his stuff. The man that tarried in the field. The man that didn't take flight when he heard the sound of the trumpet. The trumpet has to do, number one, with war. Number two, with moving out of a place where you no longer belong. One day a trumpet will sound and the church will move out of an earth, move out of a sin-cursed world where it no longer belongs. During the tribulation time, seven trumpets will sound and those trumpets will be a warning. Those trumpets will be an alarm to the believing remnant of the nation of Israel to get out, to get out, to get out, to move. Before they get trapped in that city and lose their lives to the Antichrist. Now look here in Numbers 10, and then prepare, if you would, Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. And then also 2 Chronicles 29. These are all connected. Numbers 10, Leviticus 23, and 2 Chronicles 29. All right, Numbers chapter 10, verse number 10. Also, okay, all right, in addition to a trumpet for war, and in addition to a trumpet for moving out, also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. Okay, Leviticus 23, verse number 24. Leviticus chapter 23. And verse number 24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. And then Leviticus 25, the next chapter. Leviticus 25 and verse number 9. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And 2 Chronicles 29. Second Chronicles chapter 29, verse 26. 29, 26. Second Chronicles. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets, and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. Okay, now, what is going to happen? Notice the order of numbers. Now, I didn't give these to you in this order. I gave them to you out of order, but notice the order of numbers. Number one, a trumpet sounds for the believing Israelites to move out. Okay, that happens during the middle of the tribulation time. Then, Numbers 10, a trumpet sounds to announce war. Jesus Christ returns to earth and saves the remnant of Israel. Then, Numbers 10, a trumpet sounds to introduce Jubilee, a Sabbath rest. No fighting, no work, no wars, no enemies, everyone enjoying fellowship with the Lord. You've got a trumpet for the remnant to escape into the wilderness. You've got a trumpet for the second coming of Christ to deliver the remnant. And you've got a trumpet to introduce the joyous millennial day, the day of peace. It's, hey, this is one book, brethren. It's all one book from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. In addition, look at 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. And we'll also be looking in 2 Kings chapter 9. First Kings chapter 1 and 2 Kings chapter 9. You know what's interesting to me? Maybe you don't find this interesting. I do. There are seven trumpets that sound in Revelation 8 through 11. But as we studied in our overview, the seventh trumpet contains the seven vials. So what you have is you have six actual judgments introduced by the sounding of trumpets. And when you go back to the Old Testament and study the use of the trumpets, you find six uses. So it just matches right up. All right, 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 38. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse number 11. 2 Kings 9, 11. Then Jehu came forth to the servants of his Lord, and one said unto him, Is all well? Wherefore came this mad fellow to thee? And he said unto them, Ye know the man and his communication. And they said, It is false. Tell us now. And he said, Thus and thus spake he to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then they hasted and took every man his garment and put it under him on top of the stairs, on the top of the stairs, and blew with trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. They blew with trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. You know what trumpets were used for in the Old Testament days? They were used to call attention to the people that they might all turn and look and behold the crowning of the king and the recognition of that king upon his throne. You know why God uses trumpets? To tell a believing remnant to move, to announce war, to announce peace at the end of war, and to recognize the crowning of a chosen king. Exodus chapter 19 and Amos chapter 3. Exodus chapter 19. And Amos chapter 3. You know, the sounding of a trumpet, that sound will get attention. I don't know if there's any instrument that can be heard for a longer distance. I don't know if there's an instrument that can be heard and understood more clearly for a great distance. Now, the Lord, I'd say he knows what he's doing. How about you? And see, he didn't say go out there with bongo drums. He didn't say go out there with a triangle. He didn't say go out there with some flutes. He said sound a trumpet because that gets people's attention. I'll tell you what else it'll do. Look here, Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 14. Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Look at Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. And verse number 6, Amos 3:6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? The fifth use for a trumpet in your Bible is to strike fear into the hearts of men and women. Okay, now watch this. Watch this. The remnant believes and they hide. The man of war returns to destroy his enemies and to deliver his people. A day of millennial rest brought in by the crowning of a king. But tell you what, you don't toy with this king. You don't break the righteous rules of his holy government. It's a king that is to be feared. You won't be toying with the word of God in that millennial kingdom. You won't be playing with God's commandments in that kingdom age. You will live right, you'll do right, you'll accept the authority and the policies of that king, willingly or unwillingly, or else you'll be removed. This day of grace, this day of long suffering on the part of God, it ends with the crowning of the king and the establishment of that righteous government. And we see that in the sounding of the trumpets. The fifth reason a trumpet was sounded was to make people afraid. Why did they fear in the book of Exodus? Because God had come down on the mount and met with man. And God had given his law to man. And God had given his commandments to man. And it shook the land, it shook that mountain, and it shook the people with fear. And it ought to. It ought to. And I want to be careful what I say, because I know the Lord is listening. And I'm glad for the Lord's long suffering. Believe me, I'm glad for his mercy. I'm glad for his patience. But you know, I've wondered sometimes if it wouldn't be easier for me to stay right with God if he was a little harder on me than he is. You know, some of us, our biggest trouble is that we did something we knew we shouldn't have done and nothing happened to us. We did something that we knew God certainly wouldn't approve of, and we didn't get punished. We didn't get chastened. And the devil used our crooked heart to pervert the doctrine of God's long suffering and mercy into making us think that, I guess God really doesn't care how we live then. I think that I'd rather get one swat at a time than to have the Lord save up and give me about 25 of them all at once. I'll tell you something, in that kingdom age, you'd better kiss the Son lest he be angry. You better serve the Lord with fear and trembling, because he rules not with a shepherd's staff. Oh no, that's the shepherd guiding the flock, the church. But in that kingdom age, he rules with a rod of iron. He rules with a rod of iron. Then look in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, and then we'll go to Hebrews chapter 4. Joshua chapter 6, verse number 12. Joshua 6:12. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. Uh-oh, we've got Jericho, the accursed city, being circled 13 times. Something's about to go down. Verse 16. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And of course, you know what happened. Look down verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. How about that? Do you know what that sounding of the trumpet had to do with there? That cursed city was totally destroyed following the sounding of a trumpet. Well, you know what you've got in Revelation chapter 18? You've got an accursed city called Babylon that is completely destroyed by Almighty God. And it follows the sounding of some trumpets. Look in Hebrews chapter 4. You know, I'm never comfortable preaching out of context. I don't like using what the Bible says and then teaching something else from it. So I don't want to spend too much time there in that thing in Joshua 6, but there's something kind of neat about that. That Bible says when those trumpets sounded, every man went straight up from where he was into the city. So I think there's a little rapture pictured there. Now, I'm not saying the walls of the New Jerusalem are going to fall down, but you know what they did? That trumpet sounded and they went straight up. Every one of them went straight up. And, well, that's where I'm going. I don't know about you. I'm going straight up. And I believe there may be another little rapture taking place in the middle of that tribulation there. Now, Hebrews 4, and this is probably going to be another one of those eyebrow raisers. If you're reading anything other than a King James Bible, I don't suspect any of you are. But let's read the verse, and then I'll explain. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Now, the context there, if you read that chapter, the context is the walls of Jericho. And so the reason that your King James Bible says Jesus and not Joshua is the same reason that you have Rahab and Isaiah and Jonas in the New Testament. Because a Hebrew spelling in an Old Testament name and a Greek spelling of a New Testament name, they render a different spelling of the name. And you see the same thing today, depending on where you are. John could be Ian or Juan. Same name, different spelling, different languages. Joseph, if you Google that name, it has 138 variants, including the one you're very familiar with, Yusuf, Giuseppe, Joss, and Hovsep, different places. Even my name, Robert, has 75 variants around the world. Robert in Spanish, Roby in Hungarian, Robert in Irish, Ruperto in Italian, and I even saw Tito in Spanish. Never heard that one, but that's what Google said. It's interesting that Joshua of the Old Testament name is Jesus in the New Testament, who led the people into the promised land. Well, why in Hebrews 4 and verse 8 do we have the rendering Jesus when the reference is to Joshua, the one who led the people into the promised land. And then the first place they had to destroy was those walls of Jericho. Well, it's because God wanted the Hebrews in the book of Hebrews to know that that was not the end of my dealing with that nation. Everything I promised them is still going to come to pass through a new Jesus, another Jesus, the second Jesus, the New Testament Jesus. Okay. Well, I'll tell you how bad it is. I mentioned that this verse has problems for some, apparently. People don't like the fact that it says Jesus instead of Joshua. So they change it in these new Bibles. Here's how bad it really is. I heard them say that they actually made changes to the King James Bible on tape as read by Alexander Scorby on audio tape. They said you'd hear Scorby's voice in this verse saying, "Or if," and then another voice saying, "Joshua," and then back to Scorby, "had given them rest." Two different voices in that verse. They dubbed right over Scorby's voice to make that change. Not kidding you. So you got to watch this stuff. And that's the same thing you'll find in the New Bible versions. They remove Jesus, so they replace it with Joshua. Well, listen, why did he say Jesus instead of Joshua? Because not only is Jesus going to lead the remnant into the wilderness, not only is Jesus going to come back and deliver them, not only is Jesus going to establish the millennial rest, not only is Jesus going to be crowned King of Kings, not only is Jesus going to rule in righteousness with a rod of iron, but Jesus is going to bring about the fulfillment of everything God promised those Hebrew people in the Old Testament times. That all has to do with the sounding of those trumpets. And now we'll move on to another interesting little thing. And I hate to end on a negative note, but I think those of you that are here with us tonight won't take this negatively. But we are talking about trumpets in the Bible, so it's got to be addressed because it's in the Bible. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You know, when a trumpeter plays, you know what that is. What do you say after that? Charge! That's a charge. It's understood by the armies. Time to charge the enemy. Okay. You know it when you hear taps. They call it taps or lights out. Da, 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 very slow. Also, you hear it at funerals. You know these if you were in the military. You know the sound for first call to get information. You know reveille. Wake up. Very clear trumpet calls that are known by everybody. You know what it sounds like, what retreat sounds like. It's also used for colors where they lower the flag. You know the trumpet call for doing a flanking movement. There's a call for the posting of the guards. There's a different call for all officers, just the officers to assemble. Those are all signified by certain sounds of a trumpet. And if you've got a trumpeter that doesn't know how to distinctly and precisely blow the exact notes in the exact place, all you're going to do is mess everybody up and maybe get them killed. Amen? You want a trumpeter who plays the very notes precisely and distinctly so that everybody knows exactly what the commanding officer has said as relayed by that trumpet. Amen? If not, you're going to get killed. You're going to get slaughtered in the battle. So let's look here, 1 Corinthians 14. Let's start in verse 1. The Bible says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Okay. Now that spirit there, it's lowercase s. That's not the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification. So he's contrasting speaking in tongues. If prophecy edifies, then obviously tongues do not. An exhortation. Prophecy exhorts. Tongues don't. And comfort. Prophecy comforts. It's contrasted with tongues. Obviously, tongues do not comfort. Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, which violates the most basic principle of the New Testament, that you are to put every other person ahead of yourself, above yourself. So you couldn't be any more carnal than to be speaking in tongues. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Okay, there's the ministering to others right there. Verse 5, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. Okay, if you got a choice, prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds. How shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Now this is not a fundamental Baptist being rude. This is the Holy Spirit giving you truth in the Word of God. He said, you're wasting your breath if you're not speaking a language that your hearers can understand. If I stand before you and I say, well, hallelujah, what does that mean? It means, it doesn't mean a thing in the world. You don't know whether whether to get right with God. You don't know whether to go out and preach the gospel. You don't know whether to repent of your sin. You don't know whether to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know what to do. You don't hear any instruction in that. Say, why? Because the trumpeter is just blasting away, making noise. The Lord said, when that commanding officer says, forward, if that trumpeter doesn't play a forward advance, people are going to die. The Bible says when that spiritual leader doesn't tell you distinctly, exactly what God said so that you can understand it, he's going to get you killed. You say, boy, we've got the best trumpet player in the world. Oh, really? What songs can he play? Oh, he can't play any songs. He just makes a bunch of noise on the trumpet. Then he's not a great trumpeter. He's just wasting everybody's time. just making noise. Oh, well, we've got a great Holy Ghost-filled charismatic preacher. You say, really? Well, what can he do? Oh, man, he can babble and jibber-jabber, and nobody even knows what he's talking about. Oh, well, that's impressive. Another fellow stands up and says, oh, that's nothing. My preacher, he can bark like a dog. How about that? My dog can bark like a dog, but at least he's talking to dogs, and they know what he's saying. Well, that's nothing. My preacher, he can laugh like a hyena. He needs to go to Africa, try, maybe he can get hyenas saved. Now, some of you might think I'm being too critical. No, some people are being critical of the Holy Spirit of God and of the Holy Bible. God said, if you get up and speak, and I don't know what you're saying, you're just hot air. Your words are just wind. There's no certain sound to them. You're not doing anybody any good. I'm telling you something. When we're done here tonight, you can know. There's some things you can know. You can know that trumpets have to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ. That whole process that we just looked at. You can know that trumpets have to do with God delivering the nation of Israel. You've understood several things tonight. I certainly hope you have. You know what you can do? That you can live on that. You can build your life on that. But if you tune in to TBN or the God Channel, you can say, oh boy, that was really great. She did a triple backflip with a half twist, man. I didn't know a human torso could do that. Woohoo! I've never seen anything like that before. That's something to build your life on, isn't it? Okay. Son, did you hear what that preacher said tonight? Yeah, I did. He said, well, that'll make your kids really want to live for Jesus, won't it? That'll really gear them up to be ready to face the world, won't it? You know why we no longer have a fighting church? You know why we no longer put on the whole armor of God and fight the good fight and war a good warfare? Because we're not getting clear-cut, understandable commands from the general of the army. And we need them. Now, that ought to bother you. You ought to say, thanks, preacher. I appreciate that. I've always wondered why I got so high while I was there in that charismatic church, but always left feeling so empty. Because you didn't get anything while you were there. Everything that was said just floated off up into the air. We need to be careful. The Bible says here in verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Okay, so if I speak English, that is signifying something. I have a command of the English language. If I speak French, if I speak Dutch, if I speak German, it signifies something. I have a command of those languages. If I lose control of my tongue and begin to babble like an insane man, that signifies something. It signifies a man that cannot control his tongue, can't control his speech, can't form real words. It signifies he's out of his mind. I mean, if you saw somebody like that outside of a church service, you'd call for the rubber ambulance. But if somebody's singing Jesus, Jesus, sweet Jesus along with that gibberish, then they're worshiping the Holy Ghost. And you think they're being rational. Do you think that's rational behavior because it's being done inside a church house? No. But it's not. It's the cuckoo clock running backwards is what it is. And maybe you're saying, I don't think you ought to criticize other Christians like that. I haven't. that crowd's not worshiping Jesus Christ. They're worshiping, like I said, the Holy, they say, Holy Ghost. And there's no such thing in all the Bible. You know, they make that one word. I mean, you get a concordance, try to find H-O-L-I-G-O-S-H-E, I guess, Holy Ghost. It's not in there. But that's who they preach about. That's who they sing about. That's who they pray to. That's who they want to come visit them. And when he shows up, he makes them do things that the Holy Spirit of God never made anybody do in all the history of God's word. So I'm just pointing out to end this. We live in perilous times, friends. But I know one thing. When that trumpet to assemble and to move out sounds, no saved, born-again believer is going to be confused about what's being said. We'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for opening our eyes a little bit more tonight. We pray, Lord, you continue to do so. It's been a blessing, Lord, to study your word, and I pray it's been a help to others. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us to continue to meditate upon the things we've learned tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.